Stephen Wong joins us, and boy, this is—I feel like we're doing the books today. But I love these books. Father's Day, Mother's Day—you know—is just passed, and I know so many people appreciate bringing these books to people's attention. The book is Game Worn. Stephen Wong did it with Dave Grob, and Stephen is with us. And Steve, I'm going to let you. First of all, tell us a little bit of your baseball background,
sure.
Because what makes this book special is the memorabilia.
Yes.
And you have a tremendous amount of this stuff, which is incredible to me. So let's hear a little bit about you and how this came together.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you very much, Marty, for having me on the show. I want to get your autograph after this because you are a true legend, and I've been listening to you for many, many years.
Thank you.
I've had the privilege of growing up in the Bay Area. My parents moved back to Hong Kong in called the mid-1980s. So my Giants were the Candlestick Park Giants, mm-hmm. trying to keep as warm as possible in the winter of the summer. Mm-hmm. And I started collecting cards when I was very, very young, and that morphed into a greater interest to read a lot of books about baseball history. And collecting became, for me, a way to forge a connection to the players and the events that I had been reading about, you know, from all the great authors that we know today who have written about baseball over the many, many years. And this really kind of grew into a lifelong passion, or I call it kind of a disease. It's very addictive, and uniforms, for me, really started in 1994. I actually was in Boston. I just arrived Boston from Hong Kong. My parents moved back to Hong Kong in the mid 1980s.
How long of a flight is that?
That's a long one. From San Francisco.
The high and the mighty.
Thank you, Mark. Whistling movie.
Right, that's the theme.
So, yeah, it's about 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I was very jet lagged. I was sitting in the hotel room, and this was September 25th, 1994. I turned on the TV to try to cool off my jet lag before dinner. And there it was, inning 6 of Ken Burns' famous video, you know, a documentary on baseball. Inning 6 covered the decade from 1940 to 1950. And to the tune of Glenn Miller and Duke Ellington, I saw clips of Ted Williams. I saw clips of Pee Wee Reese, Jackie Robinson, Bob Feller, Larry Doby, all the greats in color. Now, as you know, the history of baseball, particularly from the 1960s and before, is widely commemorated in black and white images. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to find color images, especially when you get to the dead ball era through the Great Depression, you know, all the way up and through the 1950s. Predominantly, the images are black and white. So when I saw these images in color, that kind of was my... That was my coming. That just drew it right there to see Williams wear his Red Sox uniform, to see Willie Mays in his San Francisco Giants, and finally to see the orange and the black, you know, trim on, you know, on the uniform and the cream color. You never really sort of appreciated how aesthetically alluring these uniforms are when you always seen players wear them, but in black and white images.
But the collection, so that's the catalyst, and I can see how excited you are. Just Stephen Wong is with us. The book is Game Worn, but now you dive into this hobby that became huge.
Yeah.
So how about some of the things that are in the book and some of the things in your collection, and maybe a story or two of some of the more unusual acquisitions?
Well, after that event, that's when I started collecting uniforms, so just call it about 23, 24 years now. And, you know, there are a number of uniforms from my collection featured in the book. We have uniforms from the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, the Bill DeWitt family and the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum, Dan Scheinman, Gary Cypress, and Thomas Toll. They are all very renowned collectors for many, many years.
Dan is here in the Bay Area.
Yeah. And so you're going to see in this book the game-worn jersey of Babe Ruth from 1920, which was obviously a pivotal year coming right off the Black Sox scandal.
Is that yours?
His jersey. That is not mine.
All right, let's get to yours. I'm going to hear what you got.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have.
Well, I mean, one of them is, which I think is probably one of the most interesting uniforms, is the uniform, the Chicago White Sox uniform that Urban Red Faber wore in the 1919 World Series.
Right, very
nice. Now you're talking Marty's language.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's a very significant uniform.
I thought he was going to say Urban Shocker.
No, it's Urban Red Faber. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a famous spitball pitcher from the era. And the first game of the 1919 World Series was actually played at Redland Field. Okay, you know, at Reds.
So did you find it?
But images prove that at Game 1 at Redland Field, the Chicago White Sox wore their home uniforms, not their roads. And so the significance of that uniform is that Red Faber, sitting in the dugout with the rest of the players, Shoeless Joe Jackson, Chick Gandel, Buck Weaver, and all the rest of the guys, the eight men who were thrown out, actually saw Eddie Cicotti throw the first pitch and hit the back of Maury Rath as a signal to the gambling syndicate headed by Arnold Rothstein that the players agreed to the fix. One of baseball's darkest chapters and tragedy, and so it's a really important uniform. Others.
Oh, come on. How did you get it?
That was actually through private sale.
Yeah, so how did you track it down? This is the fun of this is sort of the chase.
Sure.
In this stuff. It is. The chase is, because I've done baseball cards and Sport Magazine and Sporting Newses, and when you find the find, and then you go and get it, that's the thrill of it, the chase.
Very much.
Yeah. So
and you know, that particular uniform was actually misrepresented as being an earlier year.
Okay.
But through the research of Dave Grobe, my co-author, he definitively determined that was the uniform worn in the 1919 World Series and the 1920 regular season.
Well, I have a friend that traffics in the underground cell of memorabilia. Okay, like he'll get on a private jet and take a piece of game-worn memorabilia from a player, and he'll take it down to LAX, and a collector will fly in from Miami, and they'll exchange. How deep does it go from your experience? I mean, like a Van Gogh on the black market. How about these uniforms like this one from 1920? I mean, how deep have you got your fingers?
Well, you know, these uniforms right now, it's very, very difficult to obtain. Most of them, I would say 95% of them, are buried in private collections. And, you know, the heyday was really the 80s and the 90s and kind of the early 2000s.
Okay.
But since then, the hobby has matured dramatically. Yeah. And a number of these things have been sold through auction or private sale.
Okay.
And you never really sort of see them come to market.
When did authenticators become a part of this trade?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And that was one of the main reasons why we wrote this book. The last book written on Game 1 uniforms was back in 1991 by Mark O'Conan. Since then, nobody has published a book on Game 1 uniforms, which is arguably the most coveted form of collectible in baseball collecting, just simply because of the historical significance these artifacts represent coming off the player's back.
Yeah.
You know, since then, nothing's been done. That's why we wanted to write the book. And, you know, it took us a good 3 years.
Great book. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
Pat, you should take a look at it while Stephen is here.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Let's take a look at some of the pictures.
Thank
I mean,
you, Marty.
It's a coffee table kind of book.
Yes.
But just absolutely beautiful. Paul Wendler, the late Paul Wendler, he was a DA in San Mateo County, who I knew and through collecting, and of course I had cases with him and all that. And he passed away. But we used to go to shows in Anaheim. We'd go to the show down there and stuff with Michael Gaines. And he was a collector of uniforms. That's what he liked. And I remember his story. He got Joe Morgan's rookie uniform with the Colt 45s with the pistols on
it. Yes, yes.
And he traded a case of wine.
Shame on him.
In the 80s. That's right. Paul Wendland.
He must have drank a case of wine prior to using.
He was a Marine.
Well. Yeah.
A wonderful man. Wonderful man. Died of cancer.
Doggone
just,
it.
He was one of my dear friends. And he was on the other side of the aisle from me, you know, being a prosecutor and all that. But we had this in common.
Yeah.
And he gave me a Leo DeRocher card from 1933.
That was 33 Gowdy.
Yeah, he gave that as my gift. He said, look, I want you to have that, stuff like that. So I like having you on. It's a pleasure to get to know you. Stick around for a while.
I will.
Because we'll have some breaks. I want Pat to look at the book. But it's one of those special books. The pictures are good. And I said to you before you came on, the text is wonderful.
Thank you.
And it's not just a little caption about the item. It's a full text about the item and the person and anecdotes about the career. And you wrote that.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
All right. Stephen Wong, very good. WONG. pleasure to have you here.
Thank you,
and
Marty.
Please stick around. And the book, this is one that if you have a shot to take a look at it, it's on Amazon and all the places. The Book Tree in Montclair. David, I'm going to tell David, I independent bookstores, I guess, can get it.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Come on, anywhere
David,
books are sold.
Yeah, tell David.
No brainer.
In Montclair, The Book Tree, and I'll let him know about it. He should stock a couple of these up there. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you very much, Marty.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.